Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, focusing on the seventh chapter. In the previous chapter, Iyov gave vent to his frustration and pain as he lashed out at Eliphaz for his not-too-subtle implications that Iyov, or even his children, deserve the calamity that befell them. In this chapter, Iyov focuses on the frailty of human life on earth. He extrapolates from his personal experiences to all humans and concludes that all are condemned to lives that are short and too often meaningless. Eliphaz stressed that fallible man cannot claim to be perfect, and whether he is conscious of his wrongdoing or not, Iyov must have done something to account for his suffering. In this chapter, Iyov concedes that no person is perfect, but argues that the brief time on earth was meant for each human being to maximize his potential and perfect his personality. Such efforts were meant to be rewarded. Instead, all of Iyov's efforts to follow God's moral laws now seem futile. Halotzaval enosh aleyaretz, uchiyime sachir yamav. Ke'eved yishaf tzel, uke sachir yikave po'alo. Do not mortals have service on earth? Are not their days like those of hired laborers? Like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired laborer waiting to be paid? Eliphaz had claimed that God inflicts disease as a warning, designed to stop a person who is heading for doom and set the straying soul back on the right path. To which Iyov retorts that it makes no sense for God to inflict such extensive and profound pain for sins so small that they have evaded the notice of his friends, thereby wasting the brief time that he still has on earth. Iyov complains that he had been allotted endless pain, and his children have suffered irreversible disaster. It certainly wasn't meant for them to go back on the right path. Ken holchalti li yarchei shav velelot amal minuli. So I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me. What meaning can there be in his suffering if his days are consumed in agony, and in the sleepless nights filled with longing for sunrise, as he counts the hours of unrelieved agony? In the meantime, lavash psari rima, vegush afar ori raga vayimaes, yamai kalu mini areg, vayichlu be'efes tikva. My body is now clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Mitzudot interprets this complaint. Given that Shechin consumes his flesh, Iyov cannot possibly view it as a corrective. Iyov thinks if this pain was meant to atone for some unknown sin, so I can attain some tranquility and joy at some future date, how long will I be tortured? He then turns to God, though without mentioning any of Hashem's names, and pleads, "Remember that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. The eye that now sees me will see me no longer. You will look for me, but I will be no more." Malbim adds that Iyov correctly points out, "My life is but a breath," to indicate that every breath he takes will not be retrieved, and every minute lost in pain is wasted, for his debilitating disease does not allow him to engage in doing good. He can do no chesed, which would make life on earth worth living. Iyov quite accurately points out that the eye that now sees me will see me no longer. For after death, the body is buried. And even if the soul is eternal, it is also invisible to the human eye. He cries out to, ostensibly to Hashem, My life is fleeting like the wind. Help me before I'm gone. Kala anan vayelech. Ken yored she'ol lo yale. Lo yashuv od leveito. Velo yakirenu od mekomo. As a cloud vanishes and is gone, so one who goes down to the grave does not return. He will never come to his home again. His place will know him no more. Rashi quotes Chazal in Baba Vatra that Eov's words, one who goes down to the grave does not return, indicate that he does not believe in Triyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead at the time of the final redemption. Though the spirit may ascend to realms beyond this world, the deceased, lo yashuv od leveito, he will never come to his home again. And even if his soul should reincarnate in a different body, lo yikirenu od mekomo, his neighbors and friends who live where he lived won't recognize him. Even now, while he breathes and speaks, he's unrecognizable to anyone who knows him, for his appearance has become so repulsive that people see him as a decomposing corpse. Therefore, he persists in complaining. Gam ani lo echsoch pi, adabra b'tzaruchi, asicha b'mar nafshi. Therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Malbim paraphrases this verse. Since I've nothing to lose by speaking and nothing to gain by my silence, it is better for me to express my anguish. In the continuing verses, Eov describes his fear at the prospect of endless pain and his dread of nightmares that terrorize him and shake him from any respite he might find in sleep. He rails against the uselessness of his suffering and then again begs for an end to his agony. Masti, lo leolam echye, chadal mimeni ki hevel yamai. I'm disgusted. I won't live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are meaningless. He then proceeds with a lamentation for the absurdity of human life in verses 17 and 18 that sound oddly familiar. Ma enosh ki tegadlenu v'chitashit elav libecha v'tifkedenu lifkarim l'regaim tifchenenu. What is mortal man that you should magnify him, and that you should attend to him, and that you hold him to account every morning, and try him every moment? These lines are reminiscent, and yet so starkly different, from words in Tehillim. They contrast starkly with the eighth psalm, in which David HaMelech stares at endless skies and senses how minute and insignificant a human being is compared to the vast worlds beyond. And in awe, he asks, Ma enosh ki tizkerenu, uven adam ki tifkedenu? What is mortal man that you remember him, and the human being that you appointed him? While David feels both humble and proud to be the creature formed in God's image, Eov wishes he could disappear, disgusted with his own frailty and futility. He therefore adds in verse 20, Chatati ma'efalach notzer ha'adam, lama samtani lemifgalach ve'ye'alai lemasa. If I have sinned, and I concede that I have, what impact would it have on you, God, the watcher of humanity? Why have you made me your target so that I am now a burden to myself? Amos Chacham notes the ironic term Iyov uses for Hashem, Notzer Ha'adam, the watcher of man. A phrase that is a play on the term Yotzer Ha'adam, the creator of man. He reads this as a sardonic comment that the one who formed and shaped us from the dust of the earth now watches over us, but not to protect us, but rather to search for any fault and failing that would damn us. Perhaps sensing that he crossed a red line and has spoken too irreverently to his creator, Iyov closes the chapter with a plea for forgiveness and for death. Ume lo tisa pish'i v'tavir et avoni, ki ata le'afar eshkav v'shichartani v'eineni. Can't you forgive my transgression and eradicate my sin? For now, I wish to lay down on the ground, and should you search for me, I would be gone. In his passionate and audacious words to God, Iyov reveals nevertheless a deep-seated faith in the Creator. Iyov knows that man's actions cannot help or hinder the omnipotent God. He was taught that God cares for the human being, whom he fashioned in his image, and then appointed Adam to cultivate and preserve the earth. However, Iyov's personal experience has led him to the conclusion that perhaps God has abandoned man and has allowed blind natural forces to wreak havoc. In the introduction to Sefer Iyov, Malbim explains that in the first phase of the dialogues, the debate between Iyov and his friends centers around the major premise of a syllogism. The first premise is, if there is Hashgacha Pratit, and Hashem watches and cares for each individual and not just the mass species, then it is impossible that an innocent person will suffer and an evil person will flourish. But given that we witness a tzaddik suffering, we can't help but come to one of the following conclusions. A, he is not really a tzaddik, as Eliphaz intimated. Or B, he's not really suffering. His pain is instead a corrective, meant to redirect him to a better route, or to safety, or to atone for some wrongdoing, as Bildad will argue in the next chapter. We will continue to explore the friends' attempts to explain tzaddik v'ra lo in the forthcoming days. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.